We're holding Maseches Peah, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph, 8:1. The Mishnah wants to discuss now when the gifts that were left for the poor are now available to whoever wants to take them. Let us say just generically Hefker. Mishnah says, Me'imasai kol adam mutar b'leket. From what point is anybody allowed to help themselves to leket, that was left in the field for the poor, and this would apply equally to Peah and Shechcha, in a grain field anyways. Mishayelchu ha-nemoshos. Once the nemoshos have passed through the field, the nemoshos are, there are two pshatim given in the Gemara Tainus, Davav, and Barthner brings them both down. Either it means the elderly people who have to kind of walk on sticks, therefore they get there last, meaning that once they've passed through, no one's going to bother to go and search for more because they've done like a second and final thorough search. Or nemoshos means simply the people who made a second pass through, trying to feel to see if there's anything left and remaining. So once a second group has passed through in search of the leket or the shech or the peah, then whatever's left in that grain field, etc., is available to whoever wants to take it as hefker. There is a question about the technicality of how it is that the matanos la'aniyim, the poor gifts, the poor transfer from being exclusively in the domain of the aniyim, the poor people, to being in the domain of anybody is hefker. And the mechanism would be something like yeush, which is, losing hope of ever getting it back. So once the aniyim, the estates of the aniyim collectively, they all decide that even passively there's no point or hope in getting anything more out of their field of consequence, then they collectively have like societal yeush, they give up hope of searching for it, and therefore becomes hefker like any other lost object, which becomes hefker and after yeush. There's a second question of why the owner of the field doesn't then reacquire that property, because normally the rule is that if something is abandoned in one's property, then his property acquires it for him. It's not so clear what the answer is, why it would be that the now hefker produce doesn't revert to being the exclusive property of the owner of the field. But it doesn't. It remains public for whoever wants to take it. The peret, v'olos, when it comes to peret, those were the individual grapes that fell during the picking of the grapes, analogous to leket. And olos, olelos, we will call the misshapen grape clusters that are left for the poor because they lack, when they lack, they're defined by having a lack of both a katef, the grapes, the mini clusters being pushed up by the ones beneath them, and also not a natef, a final mini cluster coming out the bottom of the sharvit, the main central spine of the grape cluster. Mishayelchu ha'aniyim bekerem v'yavo. It's from the time that the poor people have gone through the vineyard and have come out again. That is to say that unlike the first case when it came to leket, it was after the second pass of people went through the field, or the elderly who essentially effectively are a second pass through the field. This we're saying, according to most Mefarshim, it's after a first pass. Once people have passed, gone to and fro in the field, going in and then out again, they've collected all of the grapes that are available in that vineyard, that are presumed to be available, and then after that, everything becomes hefker. The reason for the lesser shiur, the smaller amount of time required to wait and for hefker when it comes to a vineyard, is because when it comes to wheat, people are more, it's less valuable and sort of less desirable, and therefore people are more relaxed about going over a longer period of time. And therefore, the window for it to be available to Neum is more extended. When it comes to a vineyard, since grapes are more desirable and more valuable, so then everyone is sort of ready to start at the same time and make a thorough search from the outset, and therefore after one thorough pass to and fro through the field of everyone, it's assumed that there's nothing left of consequence. It should be noted Rashi in the Gemara in Tainus understands that this is essentially the same kind of shear as the previous, meaning Mishayelchu ha'aniyim bekerem v'yavo means they go through once then go through a second at a time. However, Barthor and most others, and like I said before, it's just a single pass in and then out again. Uvazesim, what about in olive trees? So if you recall, when it came to grain, legumes, etc., there are three gifts to the poor. That was Peah, Leket, and Shechcha. When it came, that was the first case, if you will, of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah was talking about a vineyard. There we have four gifts to the poor, really, technically, because we had Peah and Shechcha, as well as Peret and Olos. So now that was the second case. And now we talk about the third case, which is by other trees besides for grapevines. So for example, here we have Zesim olives. So there we only have the mitzvahs of Peah, the leather edge or section of the orchard, as well as Shechcha, some forgotten fruits on the vine or beneath them. In any case, so now when are the Zesim, the olives, hefker and available to anybody, not just the poor, those that were left initially as Peah and as Shechcha, Mishater Revia Shnia, from the time of the second rain. That is to say, when it comes to the time of harvest, so grains are harvested early in the summer, at the beginning of the summer, and olives are harvested at the end of the summer, but those are both warm times of year where the elderly, etc., are comfortable going out and rummaging and foraging for food and what's left for them. But the zeis and the olives are, the harvest time is only at the beginning of the winter, and it's cold, and therefore the elderly, etc., are not expected to go out, and they won't go out searching and catch a cold, etc. And therefore, as soon as the second rain has fallen, then already it's considered to be no one's going out anymore, and whatever olives are left on the trees as Peah or Shechcha are available to whoever wants to take them. The Bartanura brings that in a normal, in a typical year, that works out to being the 23rd of Cheshvan. On the calendar, the Rambam says they're available from the 1st of Kislev, but again, both those times mean, you know, the late autumn or beginning of winter time. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda objects and says, V'halo, yesh she'ena moskin es zeisehem, ela la'acha Rabbi Yishnia. He says, wait a second, there are plenty of farmers who don't even bother initiating their olive harvest. The word mosek is to harvest olives. Their olive harvest until after the second rain. So how could it be that already it's too late for the neem to come and collect and everything becomes, you know, hefker from Revia Shnia, from the second rains, when the harvest doesn't begin oftentimes till after that point? So he says instead, ela kadei shehi ha'ani yotze v'lo yehi mevi ba'arba isaros. He says instead that the time for the olives is sort of analogous to the previous cases, meaning it has to be left on the trees until there's not a sufficient amount of olives left on the trees, such that a person who were searching for left olives, the ani, could go in and come out again, and he won't bring with him olives that are worth 4 isarot. And an isar is a coin, a small coin. It will come out later on that the value of one meal is an isar. So 4 isarot would mean 2 meals worth of food. And of course, they could barter some olives from other kind of food. But the point is, it's 4 meals worth of economic worth of food, which makes it worthwhile for the names to go searching. Less than that, they wouldn't go searching. Why the number 4? Because a person would typically eat 2 meals a day in the time of the Mishnah. So really, it's 1 day's food for 2 people, the man and his wife. So the idea is that that's the sort of the threshold below which a person wouldn't bother go and search for food anymore in the fields of the, or the olive groves, because it just doesn't make economic sense anymore. It's not perfectly clear why the threshold would be set at 4 meals, meaning a full day's food for a man and his wife. And obviously there are plenty of poor people who don't have wives, and they would presumably be willing to go for the sake of 2 meals, 1 day's food. That's a question. Either way, the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda, so we don't have an answer. Instead, the halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, that after the Revi Yishnia, the second rains, let's say the Rambam, by the 1st of Kislev, already no one else is going out searching for olives, and whatever's left on the trees is now hefker and not exclusively the domain of the poor people.